Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. This morning, I would like to look at a story from the Old Testament. It's probably one of the most favorite stories for children. And it's one that we don't forget because it's very popular and even big people like it. I'm trying to think what other hints I could give. I know if I give one hint, then everybody would know what the story is about. The story is about one fellow that's really, really big and another fellow that's pretty small. Who can guess what the story is about? One really big fella, really tall, and then one fella's a little pretty short. Who's brave enough to guess? Back there. Tristan. David and Goliath. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. That is right. Children, I think they love this story because it involves, like I said, a big giant and a shepherd boy. And it involves bravery. It involves a slingshot. And it involves a victory. And I think that's probably why little boys like it, like that story. And probably why some of us adults like it as well. And I believe some of us adults like this story because there are some applications that we can look at in this story and apply it to our lives. Because we all face giants sooner or later in life. Giants come to us in different forms, different times in our lives. And the way that God miraculously delivered David in this story is an encouragement to us because we see how God works. And I just started, when I started studying this, I looked back. I keep a record of all the titles of the messages that were preached there, and I don't think we ever had a message that was preached on this story. Maybe it was referred to, but I don't remember if it was ever preached on. I think we had a summer Bible school devotional maybe, but never a sermon on it. I found it interesting as I was studying and looking at some of the details and trying to make it come alive to us here this morning. It's interesting how people will try to discredit God in this story. I came across some very interesting thoughts that I don't necessarily agree with, and we're not even going to go there. Take the time to look at those this morning. But as I studied this, I did change a little bit the way I view this story. And I'm going to tell you about that here in a little bit towards the end of the message. Let's go ahead. It's going to take us a little bit of time. But our song leader gave us a little extra time, so I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to read all 58 verses. So follow along in your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered together with their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah and Ephesdamon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the other side, and Israel stood on a mountain. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was one of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. And David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew... Now let me just insert in here. David returned from Saul is referring back to chapter 16, where when the evil spirit was troubling Saul, they called for a young boy to come and play for Saul. And so David came and played for Saul. But now he had went back, and I'm not sure how much time elapsed in between here, but he went back home. David went back to be with his father and to feed the father's sheep at Bethlehem. Verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to this man that killeth the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armored David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the hosts of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim and unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Interesting story. There's a lot of things that we could talk about. But first of all, I just want us to understand, I want you children to understand and try to bring it to life a little bit for all of us. It's easy to read this story, and some of these words are kind of big for the children. But let's understand the setting. So you have a mountain. You have a mountain over there on 99. You have a mountain over here. And on one mountain, you have the Philistine army. They're on the side of the mountain, a big army. And on this mountain over here, you have the Israelites, and there's a valley in between. And I believe, if I understand correctly, the valley was probably, or the mountains were probably fairly steep, with a rather narrow valley in between. And the two armies are getting ready to fight. They're ready to come down to this valley and to fight. And out comes this giant. Now, let's talk about here in a few verses. It tells us a little bit about Goliath. But it uses terms that we don't normally use. It says he was 6 cubits and a span. Now, 6 cubits, if you figure a cubit at 18 inches, then that would make him around 9.5 foot tall. So I stand without shoes at 5'11", so shoes I'm probably about right on 6 foot. So that's another 3.5 foot taller than I am yet. So if you could picture him, he would have trouble standing at this pulpit without bumping his head there on the light. He was a big fella. He had a helmet of brass on his head, it says. So he had a big helmet of brass and a coat of mail. Now, a coat of mail was literally plates that overlapped each other. Basically, if you look at a fish, catch a fish, and you see all the scales and how they have those scales overlap, that's kind of what it was like. It was plates of metal that overlapped each other so he could move around. But it was a coat that would protect him, protected his chest, protected his arms. And that's what he was wearing. And it says that this coat of mail weighed 5,000 shekels. And I looked that up, and that coat alone weighed 125 pounds. Now that's heavier than a lot of you children and some of the women here. It says, greaves of brass upon his legs, in verse 6. And this was basically, as I understand, like some of you wear shin guards when you play hockey, except this was brass shin guards that protected his shins when he was out fighting. Says he had a target of brass between his shoulders. And there's varying opinions to what that is, but that was probably hanging on his back, between his shoulders, a round plate that protected his back, his vitals from the back, and could possibly be swung around, used for a shield as well. So, with all this armor, plus as big and tall as he was, you can imagine how scary this fellow was. Big 9.5-foot fellow with a helmet on and a coat of brass and metal shin guards and a plate hanging on his back, holding a spear, and he had a fellow in front of him with a shield. Probably looked pretty scary. Would any of you want to go fight that fella? Any volunteers? Now, let's look at his weapons a little bit. His weapons were equally impressive. It says that the staff of his spear was as a weaver's beam. And I couldn't find exactly what that is, because there's different sizes of weaver's beam. But a weaver's beam is basically a wooden frame that they would put the yarn on to weave and to make clothing. And so they had some heavy beams on there, and it was thought that probably the thickness of his beam was 2 to 2.5 inches around. That's how thick the beam was of his spear. It said the head on the end of the spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, and that would equate to about 15 pounds. So just on the end of his spear was 15 pounds plus the shaft. What I looked up, a standard spearhead in those days was about 8 to 12 inches long and weighed 1 pound. 1 pound. Okay, this was 15 pounds, so I don't know how big that spearhead was. It's probably pretty big. So it must have been pretty sizable compared to the spears that the Israelites had. So on top of all that, he had this man with a shield in front of him. So when Goliath stepped out with his booming voice and challenged someone to come fight him, no wonder he looked a little bit scary. It was an extremely intimidating situation. And then I got this idea to try to figure out what the total weight of this man was. So you've heard, we had a message here, I think it was on your BMI, and there is a way to calculate your BMI. You put in your weight and your height, and it tells you if you're at the right spot. So I went to a BMI calculator, and I put in that my height would be 9.5 foot tall. And then I started putting weights in to see where it gets me right. So most of us here, probably our BMI runs a little bit on the heavy side. But if Goliath was fit and trim and his BMI, his body mass index, was where it should be, he would have weighed 450 pounds without his armor. So if he was running a little bit on the heavy side, he could have easily weighed 550 pounds. So you add the weight of 550 pounds, 500 pounds, plus the weight of his helmet, which I don't know what that weighed, but his spear, his coat of mail, all that stuff, he easily weighed 800 to 1,000 pounds altogether as he lumbered out there and challenged the Israelites to come and fight him. So that gives you a little bit of a picture what giant David is facing. Can you picture that? Very intimidating, to say the least. And then on top of that, he comes out and he defies God. I challenge you to come and I defy the God of Israel. Were you ever around someone that spoke like that? A normal-sized fella? That defied God, it's intimidating. It's very intimidating. But on top of that, put an 1,000-pound fellow that's armored, plus have him defy God. While David, the shepherd boy, comes along, well, first of all, I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself. What stood out to me also is that this happened for 40 days. Every morning and every evening for 40 days. How long ago was it? Do you children remember when you had the school hike? That was a little while back, wasn't it? That was 44 days ago, if I figured right. So almost as long as the school hike was, this would have been happening. Goliath would have come out every morning and every evening, lumbered out, and defied God and said, come and fight me. Send someone to come fight me. And if I kill him, then you'll serve us. But if he kills me, then we'll serve you. For 40 days that happened, the Bible tells us. So along comes David, the shepherd boy. He comes along, and he defeats this giant with a slingshot and a stone. He faced this giant when all of Saul's army, and even Saul himself, was scared to go out and fight this giant. And God rewarded David with a great victory that day. So what can we learn from the story of David and Goliath? A big man, 9.5 foot tall, that altogether weighed about 1,000 pounds, and a little shepherd boy. First of all, what I'd like us to look at is that God prepares his servants. God prepares his servants. David grew up as a shepherd boy by the hand of God, I believe, to prepare him. We talked about that. I didn't realize how this message would tie into our lesson this morning until I got my Sunday school book out this morning at home. But it was by the hand of God that he grew up a shepherd boy. And when Samuel is sent to anoint the next king of Israel, all the oldest brothers come to the sacrifice. And you know the story, how Samuel, the oldest boy, comes, and he says, nope, that's not the one. God says, nope, that's not the one. And he goes all the way down. So where, don't you have any more sons? Well, yeah, the youngest one, he's out tending the sheep. Bring him in. So David couldn't go because he was out tending the sheep as the youngest son. First of all, I believe it seems that David accepted his lot in life. We don't see anywhere where David was complaining that he couldn't go to the sacrifice, that he had to be out watching the sheep. He had to be the shepherd boy. We don't read that he was complaining about that. He accepted that he was the youngest and his responsibility is to watch the few sheep out on the hillside. That was his job and he was okay with that. And I believe that David probably did his best as a shepherd boy. And he obviously took his job seriously because when it came to protecting the sheep, he was willing to fight a lion and a bear to protect the sheep. And so he took his job seriously, even though it was maybe he would rather have been doing something more special. But he took his job seriously. God was preparing him. Secondly, as a shepherd boy, he got to practice with a sling. Now, we don't know what all he did in his spare time out there watching the sheep, but he obviously, I believe, was pretty good with a slingshot. Possibly, as he was out there watching the sheep, he had time to reflect, to pray to God, to think about God, to write psalms, to play his harp, get his slingshot out, and hurl stones, and practice, and practice. And maybe that's where he got so good at with a slingshot. And he had on top of that, he had the opportunity to put his skills to practice under great pressure. When there was a lion and a bear coming, he was able to go out and perform under extreme pressure. Do you believe that God directs the minute details of your life to prepare you for something later in life? I believe he does. I believe he directs in our childhood to prepare us for adulthood. I believe he directs in our youth to prepare us for life. He works, God knows the big picture. And he works out things and he directs our lives. He moves in our lives. And sometimes you might feel like you're just a shepherd boy. What am I doing out here doing nothing? I'm just a shepherd boy. All you have to do is you have the boring job of watching the sheep. Young people, I believe especially, can get restless. You may feel like you're in a rut. Wish you could get out and maybe you have a desire to fight some giants. That would be great. I'm ready to go out and tackle some giants. Let's go. Let's do it. Or even maybe you wish you were the captain of an army like David became, or even become king like David. And I'm using these as just an example. You wish you can make a larger impact in life. That's my point. You feel like you're not doing much. But just as God prepared and led David through life, he wants to do the same for each one of us. He wants to lead you. He wants to prepare you. What does God look for when he needs a captain of the army of the king? When he needs the next king, he looks for a servant that is faithfully doing what he is called to do at the present time. He looks for someone that is after his own heart, faithful where they are, like David was. The reason David was even there at this opportunity to kill Goliath was because he was a messenger. He was just a messenger boy. He was out tending the sheep, doing nothing, and his dad says, "Look, you come, take this stuff to the captain of the army, and you go see how your brothers are doing, and bring me word back again." He wasn't doing anything. Well, it's probably exciting to go, but it wasn't. He was just being a messenger boy. And by faithfully doing what God called him to do through his authority, he had the opportunity to do something greater. So faithfully do what God has called you to do today. Faithfully put yourself into it, but always be ready to fight the giant when the opportunity comes. Always be ready to step out and do what God wants you to do. But the only way you'll be ready is if you're faithful in doing what God called you to do right now. Number two, we must recognize giants in our lives for what they are. I think we have to recognize giants. I know we have to recognize giants for what they are. We can neither minimize or maximize giants. There's a ditch on both sides. Whenever we become self-confident, taking things in our own hands is when we fail. If David would have seen that giant and says, "I could take him down, no problem. I have practiced my slingshot. I have the skills to do it. Not a problem. I'll go out and take care of this fella and go out and just do it." The story might read something different. Saul did this. He had self-confidence. He went ahead of the will of God. When he offered to sacrifice, when he was waiting on Samuel to come, he went ahead when he wasn't supposed to. And when we think that we can handle things on our own is when we are quick to move ahead of God. And so we cannot minimize the giants that are in our lives. God wants us to recognize the giants for what they are and then step out in faith and rely on his strength to overcome that giant. Giants were nothing new to the Israelites. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I just want to read a few verses in Deuteronomy 7. And verse 17. Deuteronomy 7. And verse 17. Down to verse 24. "If thou shalt say in thine heart, 'These nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them?' thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hands and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee and be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, and they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings unto thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them." Now, God also told them not to fear in facing the giants of Anak. Turn to chapter 9, jump down to Deuteronomy chapter 9, through the first three verses. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, and people great and tall, and the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard, say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them. He shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. So God is telling them, look, there's going to be giants. There is going to be nations that are bigger than you, that you can't handle on your own. But don't run from them. You go and tackle them, and I will go before you. God doesn't want us to minimize them, but he doesn't want us to run from them. We have to tackle the giants in the strength of God. If you're facing something in life that looks too big for you, then it probably is. It probably is. We have things in life. We face things in life that are bigger than us. But we must remember that there is no giant that is too big for God. David was able to face the giant because he looked to God. Back to our text in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at what David says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. He says, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Verse 45. He looked to God. David was able to fight this giant. He looked to God. And he even told the Philistine, he even told Goliath when he was going out, he says, I am coming to you not in my own strength, but it's the God of Israel whom thou hast defied that is going to deliver you into my hand. He recognized that. And we can also face the giants of today if we look to God for strength. Number three, we must be ready and willing to exercise our gifts and talents for the kingdom of God. Here is where, as I was studying this story, I looked at it a little bit different than what I used to. I always looked at Goliath as a seasoned, big warrior, and David as this extreme underdog that had no talent. He was a lot smaller. He had everything going against him. And I'm not sure if that's quite right. There were several different types of warriors in ancient warfare, just like there is today. There's different types of warriors. Goliath would have been considered part of the infantry. And infantry practices hand-to-hand combat on foot, and that's why he was armored the way he was. He was prepared to get close combat, up close. That's what he was prepared for, and that is why when David come out, he says, come to me, that I may feed you to the beasts of the field. You come to me, we're going to fight, and it's going to be all over. Okay? So that's what Goliath was. And had David put on Saul's armor, he did put it on, but if he would have kept it on and went out and fought, that is exactly, he would have been part of the infantry as well. It would have been infantry against infantry, but foot on foot, hand to hand, and the story might be different. I do want to recognize that regardless of how this story played out, God in his sovereignty has the ability to work in situations, okay? I want to be upfront with that. But David was not used to this type of combat, this foot-to-foot combat, this hand-to-hand combat. David would have been considered a slinger. He had a slingshot, and they used slingers. There was slingers in warfare. A lot of your regular soldiers had slingers, as I understand, but there were specialized slingers. Just like today, we have specialized snipers the Army has specialized snipers that they have their job. The slingers would have been something similar to the snipers of today. A specialized slinger in ancient warfare, a bullet from a sling could go as far, according to records, could go as far as about 430 yards. a stone or whatever they used, their ammunition from a sling, they could sling that thing 430 yards. Some even says that when you sling a slingshot and you hear that crack, it's like a bull's whip. It breaks the sound barrier because it's that fast. That is to be debated. Possibly would travel 150 feet per second. So that is what David was. He was a slinger. And we talked about it before, that God was preparing him, and I believe that David possibly honed this skill as a slinger while he was out watching the sheep. We talked about that. He had his time. God was preparing him, and I believe he was able to build that skill. David knew what his strengths and what his weaknesses were, and he acted accordingly. He made wise decisions based on his strengths and his weaknesses. He knew that he would not have a chance with Saul's armor, but I believe he also knew that he had a lot better chance because he was a pretty good shot. He knew how good of a shot he was as a slinger, and he knew what his potential was. And I believe today, just like David, we need to balance out using our talents for God and relying on God for strength. God may call us to do some things that are a little bit out of our comfort zone, but we put our most into it. We put our best into it. Today's most skilled slinger struggles to get enough velocity along with accuracy in order to hit a spot small enough where Goliath would have got hit, and to penetrate the skull. Today's best slinger struggles to get enough velocity and accuracy to do that. Therefore, David's task of getting enough velocity and hitting just the right spot to put Goliath down was extremely difficult. And I think David knew that, and that's why he relied on the strength of God. It was God that directed that stone. It was God that put maybe extra velocity to that stone. And that is why we need a balance of giving our all, doing our best, making the right decisions that make the most sense, and letting God do the rest. We need to have a balance of using our talents and relying on God. Sitting back and doing nothing is wrong, but moving ahead on our own strength is just as equally as wrong. Number 4, past victories strengthen our faith in God. When David faced this terrifying task, what did he do? He looked back and he said, I was able to fight that bear and that lion, and God delivered them into my hand. And this Philistine is going to be exactly like one of them. If God could do it for me, for the bear and for the lion, he can do it for this Philistine. David had faith that God would again deliver from this giant. And then he ran toward that giant, confident that God was going to deliver him. We read what he said as he ran toward Goliath. He said, "This day, God is going to deliver you into my hand." And he ran forward in confidence. We do good to reflect on the times that God has delivered us. When we face giants, hardships, temptations, it will strengthen our faith in God as we reflect on past victories that God has given us. Number 5, we must always stand for and defend the name of the Lord. Probably any good slinger could have almost enjoyed the challenge of slaying Goliath. It would have been scary, but they could have almost got excited about it. From a skilled combat perspective, you could have seen the advantages of a slinger going out against the infantry. But I believe what fueled David's desire to defeat Goliath was not the fact that he was a good slinger, but it was the fact that this man stood up and defied the God of Israel publicly. He stood up and defied God, and I believe that is what fueled the fire for David. That is what encouraged him to go out. David refers to this several times in this chapter. He talks about this Philistine that has defied the God of Israel. And even as he is going out and he is facing that giant, he says, "I am coming out to you in the name of God, the one that you have defied, and he is going to deliver me." there are different ways that people today defy God. Defy means to openly resist or refuse to obey. We see people that defy God all around us. What does it do to you? Does it fuel you to go out and fight those giants? Does it fuel you to do something about it and to talk to that person? Or are we cowards and we run the other way and we act like we never heard it? What do we do? What is our response when someone defies God today? Well, in closing, God wants us to be modern-day Davids. We need to be Christ-like, but there's a lot of examples here that he wants us to be like. Do your best and hone your skills wherever God has you today. He is preparing you. Recognize giants in your life for what they are and look to God for victory over them. Be ready to do your part to fight the giant. Exercise your talent by relying on God. Reflect on your past victories with God's help to give you courage for the next. And be ready to stand up and defend the name of the Lord. Let's kneel for prayer.